Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Grace of a Military Child and Life podcast. Military families are not like your traditional family. They are strong, brave, resilient, and some of the most incredible people I know. My name is Gracie, a U.S. Army brat, and I am your host. I am honored to be able to give military family members like myself a place for them to share their stories and experiences in the military life. Stay tuned for this week's guest. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to a new episode of Grace of Military Child and Life. Today, I'm here with Melissa, who is part of a military family. So, Melissa, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Hi, doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you. So,
thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me what it's like being part of a military family for you. What has it been like?
So it's definitely been a lot of fun. Nothing like I've experienced growing up. None of my family was active duty military, none of my immediate family. So it's definitely been a lot of fun and, you know, never a dull moment.
Yeah, especially if you don't experience it in your childhood, you get thrown into it and you don't necessarily know what to expect, what's going on, what's happening. It's a whole new world to learn.
For sure.
Yeah. What kind of experiences have you had that have stuck out to you?
I don't know. Every duty station is different. I mean, whether we met in Bethesda, Maryland 10 years ago. And then just every duty station has been very different, very unique. There's things we liked about them. There's things we didn't, but nothing. I mean, we just sort of lived our lives and there's really been nothing that really stands out. I mean, we just live our lives. That's all.
Yeah. Each place is so unique and it's so different. And especially, you know, if you've had opportunities to live on the other side of the country or even outside of the U.S., it's a whole different world that you experience.
For sure. We've been on both sides of the U.S., on the West Coast and the East Coast, but we haven't been overseas yet, so we're hoping that's next.
It's funny because everyone literally hopes to go overseas. You know, it's the top wish list for everyone, but it's only a select, you know, few that actually get that.
For sure.
Yeah. Where, you know, you've been all over. Do you have a favorite? It's hard to pick a favorite, but do you have a favorite?
So we're currently in Newport, Rhode Island. That's been my favorite so far, mostly for my kids, who are 6 and 8, but it's such a good community and it's a small town, supports very close knit support system, both military and non-military. So it's definitely been my favorite. We were out in California prior to this at Camp Pendleton, and that was a lot of fun. It was always warm. You basically pay for the weather when you're out there.
Yeah.
So it was, I don't know that we would ever live there if we weren't military. But it was definitely a great experience. There was so much to do, hiking and going to the beach all year round.
Right.
Definitely a good experience. And then, I don't know, Florida was, we enjoyed Florida. It's where our son was born and the weather was great. We didn't mind the humidity because I'm from the East Coast. So,
yeah.
I think those were our top three.
Yeah. It's definitely nice to be able to, because that's three totally different places, you know, and four if you include Bethesda, totally yeah. Different places, you know, that you've been fortunate to go to. And like you said, most of these places, you don't necessarily look at the country and say, oh, I'm going to go to Southern California. I'm choosing to live there. And so, but you get so many incredible opportunities there. Like you said, hiking, the weather is always amazing. So you've got, you know, so many different positives to each spot that you go to. And most of the time you wouldn't choose it yourself.
For sure. Prior to having lived in Florida, I never really thought Jacksonville, Florida would be a place we'd go. And
yeah,
I mean, I would, you know, you think Orlando or Tampa or like one of the bigger cities. Right. When you think of Florida, you don't think of Jacksonville all the time. So,
yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, it's so different, and you kind of find where what you like about each spot, what you don't like. So then when, you know, time comes to retire and find one spot to settle down, it's kind of, you know, you have more of an aspect to be able to say, oh, this place was great. Like, let's go live back in this state, or, you know, it's easier to choose sometimes.
For sure. We're not quite yet there yet. My husband's been in for it'll be 17 years this year. So we're getting close, but not quite there yet.
Yeah, almost there. It'll come faster than you think, but it's still quite a few years away.
Yes.
Yeah. For sure. So what kind of challenges have you faced as a military spouse?
Challenges? There are a couple. I mean, I had a career in medical device when I met my husband. I've carried it with me down to Florida when we had our son. And then I went back 6 weeks after he was born. And then, when we moved to California, that was it with my career. I, you know, applied to different places that were in the medical device field, and just, it never worked out. So that was, employment was a hard thing. And then also, making friends sometimes isn't always the easiest. I noticed, like, you make friends at your duty station, but only like a couple stick with you through your next couple duty stations that you keep in touch with. And it's just the funniest thing, because like people you thought were your friends sometimes aren't, but, there are those few that stick with you each duty station.
Yeah. Employment is something I hear echoed through really the entire military community, because you can't necessarily have a stable job everywhere you go. And once, especially in the medical field, medical anything, you know, you go somewhere, you get a job, but then you have to move, and not everyone's always hiring. And sometimes you have licenses that need to be transferred, and it's very difficult to be able to take, I mean, medical, teaching, really any of those careers with you.
For sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely one of those things that you kind of take with you, and you're like, okay, well, you know, do I pick my career or my family? And I think, you know, for most people, it's an obvious answer to choose your family. And that's why a lot of military spouses are small business owners and, you know, do their own thing.
Absolutely. For sure. And it's mostly, right now, it's like stability for the children, because my husband was deployed when we were at Camp Pendleton, and I was the most stable thing they had, and keeping the routine normal and consistent, and making sure like they had that routine and not, you know, all just messed up because dad was gone, you know? So.
Yeah. It's hard to find that family dynamic when you're constantly changing everything.
For sure. But we do it somehow.
Yeah. And, you know, my mom always, you know, when my dad would deploy, or when he would go to trainings, it was like, all right, well, let's have this rhythm, this routine that every single day, you know, is going to be the same, because that was, you know, not only better for her and easier for her, but it was also easier on us, you know, an 8 and 9 year old, you know, it was get up, you eat breakfast, you go to school, you come home, you have a snack, you do homework, you know, every single day was pretty much predictable, because you're living in a world of unpredictability. So having at least one little thing, and if that's like a daily routine that you can predict, it yes. makes it so much easier.
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Young kids don't necessarily understand the fact of, all right, well, mom or dad has to go for, you know, an extended period of time. So it's like, how do you you find that way for them to understand that, but also to understand that, you know, they're still having to live their life as well. As an adult, it's easier to understand.
For sure. And we just, you know, we kept busy. Like I made sure like they, you know, they had their routine, but then we also went on their downtime. We had things to do, and his command helped with that. You know, they made sure there was things to do for the families to occupy them. So it was great. It was a good, I guess it was the best experience it could be.
Well, and that's the only thing you can do is make it the best experience it can be, because sometimes like you don't have control over really anything in the military life. You give all of that up. And so, you know, for people like me who like to have control of everything, you don't have that. So you have to be able to find those moments where you can, you know, let go of the control and just, you know, live in the moment, find those fun things to do, especially, you know, being out in California and hiking and, you know, taking in those moments while you're there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What are some of the things that you've learned throughout the lifestyle?
Probably just to go with it. And then, like you said, you can't control anything. I'm very type A, which explains the small business owning, but, I'm very like, yes, you can't control anything. You just have to go with it and make the best of it. And then like getting involved is always going to help. Like it's going to be better if like you get involved rather than you sit like on the sidelines and watch everything. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's really important that you do get involved, because once you do get involved, you notice that you're not alone, you know, through whatever you're going through. You have a community of people around you going through the same thing.
For sure. Yes.
Yeah. And so how did you kind of get into that small business world and start on that journey for yourself?
So I don't know, where do I begin? I guess I could go back as far as my daughter was born 6 years ago, and she like, that was it. I started staying home, but I still needed something for me, something for like to be able to contribute to our family. And, you know, I tested different things. I've done a couple MLMs, and then decided that maybe I just needed to start my own thing after taking a break, of course, from that. But we were in Camp Pendleton, and I went to one of our neighborhood Bunko meetups, and I took cupcakes, and someone was like, oh, like these are really good, you should sell these. I didn't really think of anything of it. I just sort of was like, oh, okay. And then, you know, like the wheels started turning a little bit more, and I started baking more at home. And then we got here to Newport, and I was just like, well, I'll give it a shot. And my hairdresser at the time, who was also another military spouse, posted in our military spouse group, like, well, about my cupcakes and all this. And that's sort of where it began. It hasn't stopped since, which is a great problem to have. I just ran from there. So
yeah,
kind of it in a nutshell.
Yeah. And it's great because it's something you can take with you. It's not necessarily like, okay, this is only available where I'm at in this location here. It's something that when you do move again, you can pick up and take with you.
Right. And everyone has birthdays. Everyone has, you know, promotions and retirements to celebrate and change of commands and things like that. And it's, I mean, you could always use cake.
Yeah. Why and not? That, you know, my dad, when he retired, we got a huge cake that said, you know, congratulations, Staff Sergeant Burgess, on your retirement, with, you know, the Army emblem on it. And, you know, there was always something to celebrate around there. You know, having cake. There was always cake and cupcakes and, you know, sweets around. And, you know, it's just something that you can even celebrate the random things, you know, halfway through a deployment or whatever it may be.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've branched out from like just the military group since then. And I was part of the, with the Newport's on an island. If I don't know if you've ever been here or, you know, or know about it, but it's its own little island off the coast of the main Rhode Island. And I was part of their farmer's market all summer. So
That was really fun.
To get out into the community and just bring brand awareness to my business. So,
yeah, that's super fun. And I love, you know, when you can actually take your product and actually go to markets and farmers markets and, you know, be able to sell something. And it's, you know, you can't necessarily have a stable employment because of the military life. So, you know, you make it what you can, and having a small business, being able to sell something, it's such a fulfilling feeling to be able to, you know, like you said, be there for your family, but you can also still provide for your family.
Absolutely. I was really lucky because I found a place called Hope in Maine, which is about 35 minutes from us. But instead of having a brick and mortar bakery, I can bake out of their rental kitchens. So,
oh, that's so fun.
Yeah. And they run like a cohort where they help you run your food business and all of that. But prior to us moving here, Rhode Island didn't have any cottage laws on food or anything. So I got here expecting that to still be the case. So that's how that came about, like working out of their kitchens and working with their cohort. Since then, Rhode Island has changed their cottage laws and they became a little more lenient and have allowed you to apply for permits, like to work from your home. But I still enjoy that bigger space and not having to wreck my kitchen.
Yeah, no, that's so cool. I've never heard of places like that, but I'm glad they exist because it's so nice because you don't have to have this huge bakery then, you know, that you actually own or you rent out a space of, because that's a lot, especially then adding military family and moving on top of it. So being able to actually go somewhere and have the equipment that you need, but then also be able to just go home at the end of the day and not have to worry about, you know, that space.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So where can listeners find you and learn more about your business?
So I'm on Instagram. It's at Sweet Blooms Confectionery. It's in confectionery spelled with an E-R-Y, not an A-R-Y. I've had lots of people get confused with that. I also have a website. It's sweetbloomsconfectionery.com. And I think that's it.
Yeah, it's so important to be able to have something, you know, for you to do outside of this life and something that you can have ownership over and call it yours, even with the chaos of the lifestyle that's, you know, going on the outside and, you know, being a mom outside of that. And, you know, you can actually have something that's your own.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's so important for everyone to do that. And creativity is so fun.
It is, absolutely. And it's important, like, to have something for yourself to keep you, whether it's a job or a career or maybe it's volunteering, you know, small business, having your own small business, or even just volunteering within the community or whatever.
Yeah. Especially, you know, living on base or near a base, there's so many opportunities for volunteering. There's always, you know, a USO that needs volunteers or events that are being held and need volunteers. There are like endless opportunities to volunteer.
Absolutely. I currently volunteer with our Military Spouses of Newport. So there's a nonprofit that raises money for scholarships for military children and military spouses.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And yeah. I love, you know, I love that because I know how valuable those scholarships are. And, you know, getting me throughout college and then, you know, getting my mom through college and my sister. So, you know, that's valuable work.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, you have to find something that's, you know, fun, but also rewarding at the same point. And, absolutely. You know, always volunteering, like you can definitely, you know, you don't get that monetary reward necessarily, but you get that emotional reward of feeling the satisfaction of helping others. And, you know, I think it's a different outlook of feeling grateful for what you do have, because I think you're able to see, you know, different communities and what they struggle with.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What piece of advice would you give to another military spouse?
Get involved, whether it's with the command or with, you know, another organization or one of the volunteer things on base, like something that's going to help you meet people. It's not fun to be like by yourself and alone. There's so much going on, you know, we're back to doing normal things. So like, there's so much going on now and so many things to get involved in. So that would probably be the best advice I could give.
Yeah. And especially, you know, getting involved, it helps you get acclimated to the community you're in. Once you get there, especially if you just go right for it and jump in and find somewhere to get involved, whether like we talked about volunteering or whether that's a book club or something, you know, those little things that can help you to get acclimated. But then it also helps to make friends. And then, you know, I've seen people do it where they find something at one duty station, they love it so much, and then they take it to the next one that might not have, you know, a program or an opportunity like that. So it's really fun to see, you know, literally a web of everything between the bases.
Absolutely. And yes, yeah, so in Camp Pendleton, we something like that sort of happened. We, my husband's boss was, his wife started this crockpot club for the neighborhood so that we could have like meals ready, so on hand, and not have to worry about dinner. And we had nothing like that here. So we started doing that with the spouses group that I volunteer with. And it's been super helpful and fun.
Yeah. And things like that are so awesome to be able to, you know, literally form a little community between everyone there and be able to help your neighbors and, you know, the other spouses and families who are living there, who, you know, everyone has their good days and their bad days, and you cannot always predict when they're coming. So, you know, having just something like that as a meal being ready for you when you need it is huge.
Helpful, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And now you'll be able to take it to the next place you go to.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Melissa, for being on the podcast and sharing what it's like being a military spouse.
Sure. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening to Grace of a Military Child and Life podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to give it a like, follow, and comment. Also, be sure to check out Instagram and Facebook at Grace of a Military Child and Life for more awesome content. For information on the podcast, Military Child Bigs and Littles, GoAMCL blog, or other resources, visit www.goamcl.org. You can also email me at Gracie, that's GRACIE, at GOAMCL.org, with any questions or comments. To be a guest on the podcast, you can schedule it at www.goamcl.org/schedule-a-podcast, all one word, or contact me via social media or email. Stay tuned for the next episode where another incredible story is shared.